camp! Hey, you fellas! It's Billy and the boys!
Coulter heard the riders coming from up the canyon. He looked at Northwest, who stood in front of and below the cave mouth. The horse was looking back over his left shoulder in the direction of the approaching riders. Coulter stuck two fingers between his lips and whistled softly. Northwest turned to him with a startled jerk and then came walking toward him, trailing his reins. As the horse approached, Coulter watched through the trees until he saw one shadowy figure and then another. There appeared to be two riding ahead of two more. Quickly, leaving the saddlebags on the ground, he grabbed Northwest's reins and led the horse along the base of the sandstone ridge, glancing back over his shoulder. The ridge bent back upon itself, and Coulter followed the bend and then tied Northwest to a pinyon sapling angling out of it. Dropping to a knee, he doffed his hat and looked around the bend toward the approaching gang members, who were now getting within a few yards of where the black-hatted man had fallen. If he tried to flee, he'd likely be heard or spotted. He had no wish to kill more men. Just because he'd become skilled at it didn't mean he was about to start inviting trouble. But those saddlebags were tempting, and trying to get away would only make him hunted by more men after these men spotted their fallen comrades, which they were about to do. The first two riders swung from their main course and rode around the stout birch to stop their horses and stare down at the snowy ground before them. Coulter couldn't see what they were looking at, but there was little doubt they'd spied their four dead companions. Suddenly, all at the same time, they shucked rifles from saddle scabbards and leaped off their horses, dashing for cover and loudly levering rounds into their rifle breeches.
I seen a horse moving that way along the ridge.
One of the newcomers dashed out from behind his covering pine bole and ran toward Coulter, dodging and weaving, holding his Winchester straight up in his hands. Coulter drew a bead on him and fired, but his bullet merely blew bark from the tree behind which he'd just taken cover. Coulter seated another round, but held fire.
Billy! It's Marshal Dunbar! I come to take you and your boyos in or kill you right here, you bloody little demon from hell! You boyos, throw your guns down and come nice and peaceful-like, or so help me, I'll take you back to Justice City belly down across your saddles, and that'll be the end of you but for your poor mother's wailing.
Shit, I thought you killed that old bastard!
There ain't no killing me, Billy! Now, you're gonna come peaceful, or do I have to ride in there with my scattergun and pull you all down like the nasty dogs you are?
The outlaws must have been thinking it over. Coulter could see only the rifle barrel of the one nearest him, poking out slightly from the right side of a tree. The other three outlaws were behind shrubs farther away. The man nearest Coulter, aware of Coulter's position, bolted out from behind his tree and ran to Coulter's left and slightly away before hunkering down behind a flame-shaped boulder mantled with fresh snow. There was a tree between him and Coulter, but Coulter could see an arm and a leg of the outlaw as he raised his rifle and hammered a shot in the direction of the lawman. Coulter snapped his rifle to his shoulder, took a second to aim carefully, and squeezed the trigger. Coulter's slug tore into his target's left arm, snapping him around so that his back was against the boulder. He glared at Coulter, stretching his lips away from his teeth in an enraged, painful grimace. Coulter racked a fresh one into his Winchester's breech.
You boys are surrounded! Follow the man's orders or get it from both sides!
Dunbar drummed up a posse? I don't believe it.
Believe it! There's 16, 17 of us out here, and we all got you in our rifle sights!
Coulter wanted no part of this, but he'd found himself in a whipsaw with little alternative but to help the lone lawman. Coulter just hoped he was worth helping. He glanced at the saddlebags that lay in the snow where he'd left them. Part of him wished he'd tossed them over Northwest's back and ridden off, a rich man. But what about the lawman? He likely wouldn't have heard about what had happened in Sapanero, hundreds of miles away, unless he had access to a telegraph, which were relatively scarce in the remote country Coulter had been riding through. If Dunbar was federal, that would be another story. Coulter would probably have to kill him. He was already blamed for two dead deputy U.S. Marshals. One more wouldn't matter over much.
Well, I can only hang me once.
Do as my friend says, boyos. You hear me now? Or you'll be dancing with the devil.
The man nearest Coulter was sitting with his back against the rock, breathing hard and glaring at Coulter. He'd set his rifle against his extended legs and was clamping his right hand over his upper left arm.
Throw them down, fellas! They done killed Georgie and the others! They got us surrounded! It's a goddamn bushwhack, that's what it is!
He looked around as though trying to locate the other posse members. At the same time, he tossed away his rifle.
All right, Dunbar! We're throwing our guns down! We're giving ourselves up! Here!
You're a wise boy, Billy!
Coulter saw the other three outlaws now rising from behind the deadfall they'd been crouched behind. They tossed their guns away and looked around as the man nearest Coulter had done, likely wondering where the others were who'd killed their four partners. Coulter stayed where he was. He had a mind to mount up and light a shuck, but then a rider appeared through the trees beyond the outlaws. He was a large, stocky man in a bear coat and a high-crowned hat, with a long red scarf wrapped several times around his neck. He was forking a tall cream horse and rode crouched slightly forward in his saddle, one hand pressed against his right thigh, and he was holding a rifle across his saddle bow. What appeared to be the barrel of a shotgun jutted up from behind his back where it hung by a leather lanyard. The lawman lifted his chin, casting his gaze toward Coulter. He wore a patch over one eye. Just then, one of the three men in front of him jerked to one side, dropping his arms. He pulled something up from a boot. The man who'd fired the gun took off running toward one of the horses standing a ways off to his right. The lawman's face turned red as he held the cream's reins taut against his chest.
Son of a bitch!
He lifted his Henry rifle weakly and fired. His bullet blew up snow and leaves well wide of the running man, who snapped off another shot as he approached the horse that had just turned to run.
Ah, you bleeding bastard!
Coulter ran out from behind the bend in the ridge, snapped his rifle to his shoulder, planted a bead on the fleeing man's back, and squeezed the Winchester's trigger. His bullet hammered his target between the shoulder blades. The running man threw his arms up and out as he flew straight forward into the snow, behind the horse he'd been running for, but which was now galloping away, trailing its reins. Coulter heard the Henry roar and glanced over to see one of the outlaws facing Dunbar stumble backward, triggering a pistol into the ground at his feet.
You dirty bastard!
Dunbar's Henry roared and the outlaw was punched straight back to hit the ground hard. Meanwhile, the outlaw nearest Coulter shoved his hand toward his right boot, eyes bright with cunning. Racking a fresh round into the Winchester's chamber, Coulter swung toward him and punched a round through his forehead. He dropped the derringer he'd just pulled from his boot. His head slammed back to smack the boulder behind him before slumping sideways to the ground, arms and legs quivering.
No, wait!
Coulter looked toward Dunbar, who was aiming his rifle from his shoulder over his horse's head toward the last outlaw. A slender lad with long, dark brown hair hanging straight down from his leather-billed immigrant cap. He was leaning forward and sort of dancing in place, shielding his head with his arms and screaming.
Don't kill me, Dunbar! Don't kill me!
Give me one good reason why I shouldn't carry you back to your bloody paw in pieces!
The young man dropped to his knees and flung himself forward, shielding himself with his arms, grinding his head in the snow.
No! Please, God, no!
Dunbar glanced at Coulter. His thick handlebar mustache, with upswept, twisted ends, rose taut against his stout nose as he grinned. Coulter found himself staring in fascination at the one-eyed marshal. It was hard to tell with him mounted, but he appeared at least 6 feet tall and built like a bear, with shoulders broad as a barn door. His large, round, rough-hewn face was framed by shaggy mutton chop whiskers that were thickest along his jaw. The fur on his face was strawberry blonde, liberally threaded with grizzled gray. The lawman's grin faded as he regarded Coulter through the woven tree branches, squinting his lone cobalt blue eye. He turned his head from left to right and back again, taking in the carnage. The snow scuffed around the dead men turned to bloody slush.
Well now, who we got here? Who might my posse be?
Coulter picked up the saddlebags. He draped them over one shoulder, rested his rifle on the other shoulder, and led northwest through the snowy brush until he stood near the young man called Billy, who was kneeling on the ground before the lawman's cream gelding. Billy stared fearfully up at the man, his pale, pimply face streaked with tears. Dunbar continued to scrutinize Coulter suspiciously through his one eye, which skidded back and forth between the saddlebags and Coulter's own scarred face. The marshal smiled.
Aye, a handsome pair we make, eh, squire?
Coulter tossed the saddlebags on the ground near the young outlaw.
There's the loot. This kid's gang must have been aiming to meet up at the cave, not realizing it was occupied.
Dunbar glanced at the bloody dead men lying around him.
Pity him.
He looked at the saddlebags.
Is it all there?
Coulter shrugged.
Count it.
Dunbar drew a deep breath and swung his broad, stocky frame down from the saddle. The man's face had been so fascinating that Coulter hadn't fully considered the thick, green, blood-stained neckerchief wrapped around his right thigh. Now he was forced to consider it as that knee bent and the big man stumbled sideways before falling to the ground in front of his horse.
Ah! Damn it!
Immediately, the young outlaw tensed optimistically, his eyes growing cunning, like a wolf pup spying weakness in an alpha. Coulter stepped forward and brought his rifle to bear in both hands. Billy looked up at him with his chocolate brown eyes that were at once cow stupid and predatory.
What you're thinking of doing? Don't.
The lawman lifted an elbow.
Give me a hand here, will you, Squire? Shouldn't have climbed out of the hurricane deck in the first place, I reckon. This little bastard, Billy Garrett's his bleeding name, ambushed me while I was collecting firewood behind the jailhouse. Wretched little lump of Garrett mealworm.
Coulter stepped up beside him and placed a hand on his arm.
At least they didn't bushwhack me at home and endangered me daughter. That's why Billy's still breathing. No, he dry gulched me all right, but I've been shot before. Many more times than this and far worse.
Coulter got the big man to his feet with effort. He must have weighed over 200 pounds, though he wasn't much taller than Coulter's 5'9". His arms were nearly as thick as his legs, which were as stout as tree trunks. Leaning back against his horse, the lawman glared down at Billy.
If he'd placed a shot anywhere near me home, I'd punch that greasy little head down betwixt his bleeding shoulders. After that, I'd scattergun his knees so he couldn't even dance when I hanged him.
The marshal turned to Coulter.
Help me back to Justice City, will you, Squire? There'll be food and a warm place to bed down in it for you. Maybe an ale and a dram of Kentucky bourbon. No proper scotch, damn the frontier gods.
He cast his lone-eyed gaze at the gray sky.
It'll be snowing again soon.
Coulter looked at the man, then at Billy, who slid his nervous gaze between Coulter and the wounded marshal, who was losing blood quickly from his stout, twill-clad leg, and from another wound, Coulter saw now, in his right arm. The blood had seeped through the sleeve of his bare coat between his elbow and his shoulder, matting the fur.
Name's Dunbar. Matthew Dunbar. Town Marshal of Justice City, just up the road a piece. Six, 7 miles. No more than 10.
You rode 6 or 7 miles with these wounds?
Hell, I've walked farther a whole lot worse off than this, boyo. A spoonful of paregoric, and I'll be on my feet again in no time.
Coulter gave the man a hand into the saddle, though he wasn't sure how much he helped. Lifting Matthew Dunbar was like trying to move a wheelbarrow loaded with raw ore. As Dunbar settled his considerable weight atop the fine cream gelding, Coulter slung the bulky saddlebags over the horse's hindquarters. The man slumped forward, eyelid lightly closed.
Give me a minute here, Squire.
He dipped his chin toward his chest.
Just gonna take me a little beauty nap.
Psst. Red.
Coulter looked at Billy, who was probably around Coulter's own age. The young outlaw's eyes were bright with cunning.
There's $50,000 in them saddlebags. All from my old man's bank. We'll split it. $25,000 apiece.
Coulter frowned and then looked around for a horse for the prisoner. He spied movement in the periphery of his vision. He turned to one side as the outlaw bounded toward him. Billy was taller than Coulter, but Coulter was faster. Coulter stuck his foot out and the kid dropped in a pile, rolling. Coulter strode up to him. As Billy lifted his head, brown eyes flashing angrily, Coulter rammed the butt plate of his Winchester against the firebrand's forehead, laying him out cold. Coulter turned to Dunbar, who sat as before, slumped slightly forward, chin dipped toward his chest.
Just a little beauty nap. Then I'll be fine. That's frog hair.